The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pro-America Report. This is Ryan Haidt finishing out the week here for Ed Martin. Glad to be with you one more day and spend some time here hosting, guest hosting for Mr. Ed Martin, even though he couldn't be with us. I know there's a lot going on and he is doing a lot of important things, and I am very glad to be able to spend this time with you these last few days. I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as I have. It has been a good time. But we've got some news still. There's a few things brewing. And even though we've got a couple of good interviews to get to today, I wanted to make sure that I came on and we talked about some of these important things, what they mean to us and what we need to look at moving forward, particularly in this election year, 2024. It is so important this year. I know that, and let me stop and say this, I know that it seems every election year, someone who's got an agenda, who wants your money, who's texting you or sending you blast mailers in your postal box is telling you, this is the most important election we've ever faced. Well, guess what? They kind of are. I mean, if you have an eternal perspective on things, as I do, you share my Christian faith, we are marching in this linear timeline from one direction to the other. So guess what? When it comes to the cycles of civilization, nations that rise like this United States of America, our incredible homeland that we love and fight for, guess what? There is a very interesting march forward that you almost can't deny at some points. And we're in one of those. We've been in one of those for at least the last 100 years as, well, what I would say as Marxist forces have marched through our institutions, have caused havoc in higher education, have infiltrated, and we call them the deep state, our executive branch of government, across all the layers of government. Yes, every single election we face, as a result of that, with that kind of perspective, every single election that we face is, in fact, seemingly and is really literally more important than the last. You know why? Because our situation, our circumstances are getting more dire. Our national debt is going up. The deficit is going up. The spending is not going down. Inflation is going up. Everything is always moving, inching or rapidly, depending on who's in the White House, at a pace or in a direction that we don't like. So successively, each election becomes more and more and more important, because the farther the wrong direction you go, the harder it is to stop and turn around. The harder and longer it is to go back the other way and fix things. So, you know what? Next time someone says that to you, don't kind of roll your eyes. I'd say agree with them and say, yeah, I agree with you. This is probably the most important election we've ever faced. They keep getting worse and keep getting more important. So we have to keep getting more active. We have to keep getting more in tune with what's going on. You and I have a responsibility to meet that importance with our action and with our patriotism, which in this case, it means showing up to the polls, being informed, getting your friends and family to go and vote. We've talked about this, and that's what we need to get into today. Here, okay, wow, I got off pace here. But before we go any farther and I forget anymore, let me remind you, proamericareport.com, phyllisschlafly.com, that's where you're going to find all of the links and resources, all of the fun goodies that you're not going to want to miss out on. Go there. phyllisschlafly.com. You will find the archives of this program, podcasts, links, and resources, and of course, the all-important sign-up for the Wink emails, what you need to know every weekday morning into your inbox. You'll appreciate that. It'll be helpful. Forward it on to some friends and help them to become more informed, too, about the world around them, especially as we have a collision course coming with the November elections. But also, ProAmericaReport.com. That's where you're going to find Ed's Substack and a wealth of stuff that he is writing on. Often coincides with the program, obviously, when Ed's the one talking and writing. It really lines up. But, you know, I'd like to think that Ed and I are similar, at least on the wavelengths that we operate. So, nonetheless, ProAmericaReport.com, Phyllis Schlafly Report, or PhyllisSchlafly.com. Go to those two websites. You won't regret it. But let's dive in. We got a couple of good interviews, and then I have a little point that I want to get back to and wrap this up for the week and today's show. But before we get there, there was a bunch of headlines. There was a nice little bushel full of headlines that I wanted to talk about, and no one of them seems to really stand out as the one to talk about. There's several. So here's the direction we need to go, and here's what I think you need to know today. What you need to know, what I need to know, what all of us need to know. This isn't certainly something I've figured out, and you all need to learn it from me. Make no mistake, we're all in this together. But here's what you need to know: the Democrat Party is fracturing, but the Republican Party needs unity. Now, let me back up and say this in a little bit of a different way. The left, the radical left, is destroying itself. The radical left is imploding, eating itself alive. And this is the nature of what's happened. When you see this kind of radical Marxist, this neo-Marxist leftist movement in America, naturally, they are creating so many divisions and so many factions of victimhood that at a certain point, it not only does it not make sense anymore, but you start to create contradictions. Now, we're seeing and experiencing that in real time. That's what you want to call a contradiction of the left, is what you want to call it when someone like J.K. Rowling, the author, who has, is it Rowling or Rowling? I feel like I've done this before. We've had this week. I've mentioned this name on the program, and I obviously don't know how to pronounce it. I'm going to look this up, okay? The next time we talk, I am going to have looked this up, so I'm pronouncing her name correctly. There's my promise to you. And that's not an empty campaign promise. That's a real thing. Me and you. You understand. But J.K. Rowling has made comments that call into question the transgender movement. And now, make no mistake, she is a dyed-in-the-wool leftist liberal feminist. She has been raised very successfully in leftist liberal feminism. And she was a darling of the left for a long time. However, now she has spoken out against transgenderism. And that's no bueno. She has now offended the current, am I allowed to call them cows? I'm not calling them cows. You know what I mean? It's a saying. She has offended the current sacred cow of the left, this trans movement. You know what I mean? I'm not calling anyone cows. Calm down. Cancel people. Calm down. I don't think any of you are cancel people, but if they're listening, just I'm telling them to calm down. So J.K. Rowling, a dyed-in-the-wool leftist liberal, I would say, maybe not leftist, a dyed-in-the-wool liberal feminist from the core, big darling of the left. She has offended now the big sacred cow of the transgender movement, and they are trying to cancel her. They are speaking violently and angrily and hatefully against her. But she's one of them, right? This makes no sense. Well, guess what? It does. When you're looking at the world through a lens of absolute truth and understanding that reality has objective truth that is separate from you and me, we can't just make it up. Their moral relativism doesn't work. Because you get things like this. You have created these two statuses that cannot coexist. This feminist, we are for women, we're for the advancement of women, but then over here, we're for men just being able to call themselves women, willy-nilly, and destroy the privacy and equality and rights that we have supposedly fought for women. It doesn't work. And that's happened. I've seen several of the same thing. Lots of female athletes who would solidly put themselves into being famous feminists, dyed-in-the-wool, ready to go, darlings of the left, women's advancement. I am a sports hero, but they speak out against trans men, so-called trans men competing in women's sports, and they get canceled. This is what is happening across the board. I think we're seeing it not just in the social experimentation of the left in this groups, you know, groups of feminists versus the trans activists. We're also seeing it inside the Democratic Party itself, the political arm of it. We're seeing it across the board. And I think that that is of great advantage to you and me, to conservatives, to just regular everyday people who are pro-America, who are pro-common sense, who are pro-truth. Because this is an opportunity as they fracture and fight themselves to get the attention of people who look on and go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't my cup of tea. I may have been absent politics or kind of apathetic, but y'all are nuts. This is our opportunity to get them. But there is no way for us to do it if we ourselves are fractured and rife with infighting. Now, do not hear me say in any way, shape, or form that hardcore values-driven conservatives should just capitulate to the party platform and party leadership. That's not what I'm saying. And I think at this point, we have proven that those people in the establishment side of the Republican Party are ineffective and unworthy to lead. We must have new leadership, but we must unite. We must find everyone who agrees with our principles and values, wants to save the Constitution, save America, and move forward with all strength and all speed. We must be united, because the left is fracturing. It is the very nature of the huge Leviathan they have created. It doesn't work together. This is the result of moral relativism. So that's what you need to know. The left is fracturing and the right must unite. The Democrat Party is fracturing and the Republican Party must unite. That's what you need to know. Stick with us after the break. We've got some great guests coming up here. You won't want to miss it. ProAmericaReport.com, PhyllisSchlafly.com, and I'll be glad to be with you here again back at the end of the show. We'll wrap it up. Stick with us, and we will be back right after the break here on the Pro America Report.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. You've heard me talk for a day plus. I had a look early Monday morning at this piece that came out. Hoyagate is the title. Georgetown Law is Vatican of Trump Hatred. In this case, I think the author, DeRoy Murdoch, he's a pretty great writer. I bet he wrote the headline because it's a good headline. And lengthy piece on who's doing what over at Georgetown Law School, that it's not just that it's anti-Trump, it's also anti-government, anti-law. It's extraordinary. And DeRoy Murdoch, of course, you can read him at the American Spectator. That's where this piece ran, Daily Call or other places, and see him exclusively on Fox News. So welcome, DeRoy. How are you?
I'm great, Ed. It's great to be with you.
So thanks. First things first, you're a Georgetown grad. So, you know, this is your alma mater. And a lot of these places, you've been out a few years, a couple of decades, 3 decades, I bet. And a lot of them have slid left. But this has got to be one that's close to home. People that go to Georgetown love Georgetown. And so you got to be, you must have wrote this one thinking, ugh, this is a tough one.
It was a tough one. It was painful for me to write this because I, as you say, I graduated from Georgetown in 1986, a very proud graduate of Georgetown, a terrific time there. I made wonderful friends with whom I'm still friends. I had some outstanding professors and really very good times academically, socially, in every other sense. So I didn't take any great joy in writing this piece about my alma mater and its current behavior. But you take a look at the so many of these anti-Trump lawsuits and lawfare and extraordinary and outrageous comments and on and on and on. And I just found over and over and over that all roads seem to lead back to Georgetown, specifically Georgetown Law School. When you see a pattern like that, you know, somebody like myself, even as a Georgetown alumnus, you got to ask questions about that. Why is there so much of this anti-Trump hatred emanating from the same place? And unfortunately, that place happens to be my alma mater, typically Georgetown's law school.
Again, we're talking with DeRoy Murdoch, and I'll put up a link to his story at the American Spectator, and you can find his writings just by searching his name a lot. Looking closer at this, the key player is a woman who's an assistant dean, not an adjunct law professor, but assistant dean Rosa Rooks, and she co-founded this Transition Integrity Project, which has been written about a lot. But pulling back again, you're a keen observer and a writer on the scene of the American politics. Under Obama, wasn't it the Center for American Progress, where they all cycled in and out of. And suddenly, when you look at the list, you go on, it's Rosa Brooks, then you go on one after another, and Podesta, of course, is there. I think he founded the Center for American Progress, if I recall correctly.
He did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's over at Georgetown now, Georgetown Law, and one after another in key positions. It's really the locus of the sort of anti-Trump, anti-Republican activity for the last 5 years, it looks like.
Yeah, it really has been. And it's been these people who are professors, staff members, deans, high-level executives, what have you, at Georgetown Law School. And these people have been involved in the Russia hoax. They've been involved in all the efforts to spy on Trump's campaign. A lot of the lawsuits you see going on now, the efforts to criminalize everything Donald J. Trump does, the efforts to bankrupt him while he's running for president. And if you mentioned this Transition Integrity Project, HIP as it's called for short, was basically we don't know if it's really been broken up or not, but at least during the 2020 campaign, to create sort of a kind of a simulation game, if you will, to see how people would respond if Trump were reelected. And a lot of these people are on tip, also overlap with Georgetown Law School. And what's really interesting is so many of these people who say, oh, Trump's a threat to democracy and Trump is going to be dictator and all that. Their defense of democracy includes all sorts of things that I don't think any of our listeners would consider in any way small d democratic. For example, you mentioned Rosa Brooks, the associate dean for centers and institutes at Georgetown Law School. She wrote, this is 10 days, just 10 days into the Trump administration. She wrote an article in Foreign Policy Magazine called Three Ways to Get Rid of Trump. And she offers this. She says the fourth possibility is one that until recently I would have said was unthinkable in the United States of America, a military coup, unquote. So 10 days, just 10 days, week and a half into Trump's presidency.
Wow.
You've got this woman who's a Georgetown Law School dean saying we need a military coup. This is before he barely signed one piece of legislation, before the ink was dry and is stationary. And she's not saying, let's impeach him, which would have been bad enough. No, let's have a military coup. Let's send in the armed forces to overthrow this president on his 10th day in office. And these are the people we yell at our side and say that we're the, incoming Hitlers and authoritarians and dictators and so on and so forth. Other members of this tip organization at Georgetown Law School have similar ideas, too.
We're talking with DeRoy Murdoch, the author of this extraordinary piece at the American Spectator. Again, spectator.org. I'll put up a link to it. Just to drop a little, make you smile. Peter Strzok, who I don't know why, James Comey teaching ethics at William & Mary Law School is laughable enough, but Peter Strzok is on the adjunct faculty. I don't know for what, texting expertise, but I'll leave that aside, of course. I'm being sarcastic. The tip, this Transition Integrity Project, there were lots of people involved, and yet we don't really know who. Right? 15 over, in one of the articles, I think maybe linked in your piece, there was over 100 participants, including former military. I think John Podesta was publicly identified. Others, yes, in this tip game. They did these war gaming exercises, but we don't know who the rest are. We don't know if there's more on the Georgetown faculty or more on the, I don't know, that were in this tip effort.
Yeah, we don't know. These, again, are the same people who talk about how transparency is so important and transparency is a cornerstone of democracy and so on. And yet most members of this tip group are secret. Some of them have come forward, but most of them are still in the shadows. You mentioned John Podesta, who is the chief of staff to Obama and also head of the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016. He was part of tip. He portrayed, his role was to portray Joe Biden. And what's amazing is in that episode, while he was again portraying Joe Biden, one of the exercises was that Trump had a, quote, clear victory, unquote, or clear Trump win, quote unquote. And the way that President Biden, again, played by John Podesta, responded was to contact the states of Michigan and Wisconsin.
Right.
And have them create a set of alternate electors. This is the same so-called fake elector scheme for which President Trump is potentially on trial in Georgia. He might spend time in a Georgia prison for doing what John Podesta did in the tip exercise. And yet somehow when Podesta / Biden does it, it's okay. When Trump does it, then he ought to go to jail. And the other next step he took was
unbelievable.
President Trump got reelected and we're about to be seated back in the Oval Office. His great idea was to take Oregon, Washington, Oregon, and California, wrap those together in a state called Cascadia, and secede from the union, break the union up, and the entire West Coast split off in its own country. People yell at us about being divisive, and yet you've got the guy who portrays President Biden in this tip exercise, literally dividing a country, taking the entire Western time zone and breaking that off as its own country. And again, we're the bad guys.
Yeah. Last question. Sorry to do it really quick. I sent a story around to folks. One of them was a congressman. He wrote back and had caught his eye at the very end of the piece. You're talking about the money. Georgetown in the last 5 or 6 years has close to $750 million they've received funding. You know, so they're by the government from federal tax dollars. But I was reminded you do call for congressional investigations that there should be get to the bottom of this. What could be achieved? Is it to just stop them from doing this again? Is it to, what do you think? What could be achieved there?
Well, you mentioned earlier the Center for American Progress, which I think was started by John Podesta, as you said. If a private group like Center for American Progress or Media Matters wants to do this stuff, they're a private group, knock yourselves out. But Georgetown University, between 2017 and 2020, more than you said $750 million. It's actually $970 million, 97% of $1 billion, even more.
Okay. Wow.
We've gotten research grants, in Pell grants, student loans, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're getting both that kind of federal money and you're also a 501c3 tax exempt organization, you're not supposed to engage in partisan activity like this. Now you can debate politics. You can say on the one hand this, on the one hand that, discuss it and so on. But when you're basically using your faculty and staff to grind axes and chop Donald J. Trump into 1,000 pieces, and you're doing that while you're receiving taxpayer subsidies and you're also tax exempt, that's a problem. That's a violation of 501c3 tax exempt status under the IRS, or at least I think it's worthy of investigation. So I think there ought to be investigations on Capitol Hill. Look into this, get to the bottom of this. And if Georgetown law has become, in fact, the Vatican of Trump hatred, they need to stop that. If they want to be even-handed and say, look, here are our problems with Donald J. Trump, but here are our problems with Joe Biden, great, but for it to be one-sided arrayed against one party and for the other, if Georgetown law wants to break itself off and turn itself into a pack,
That's right.
501c3, they can't behave that way. So I think the Congress needs to look into this and get to the bottom of this and give us some answers.
Dorie Murdoch, thank you for your time. I know you're busy, and often I'll run Fox News on TV, so thanks for taking the time. Again, the piece is at American Spectator, Hoyagate. Georgetown law is Vatican of Trump hatred. Despite enjoying tax-exempt status, the institution, and I love this, I did a segment on my show using this phrase, the institution is viciously partisan. That's the right phrase. Powerful. Dorie Murdoch, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll take a break, everybody. I'll post it all up on social media. We'll be back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Our next guest is Daniel Greenfield, and he is, of course, over at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and a prolific writer. I was looking up his writings, and of course, you can go to frontpagemag.com. That's where a lot of them initiate and start out, but also all over the world, Daniel is published. So welcome back, Daniel. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. First, we haven't had you on in a while. It's been a few months at least. And I wanted to ask you about how quickly world politics have shifted. And it's almost impossible for me to keep it straight. After October 7th, I think the world was united, accurately, in my opinion, in saying, Israel's got to do what they have to do. It's their national security. But you watch this kind of ebb and flow back and forth. And I watch it thinking it's not based on anything substantive. It feels like it's based on almost the world business model is create people mad at each other and stoke them up. Give me your perspective on where we are.
Well, I compared October 7th to 9/11, and it's playing out much the same way. The terrorists are playing the victim. Initially, everybody knows what's right and wrong. And then you get enough of terrorists playing the victim, and suddenly there's ambiguity. People are questioning, well, maybe they're going too far. Maybe it's just we need to actually get everybody to stop shooting at each other when there's no actual way to get the terrorists to stop shooting at you, short of defeating them. And this is something that terrorists, Islamic terrorists, have been very good at. They've had a lot of practice doing this in so many different countries. It's not just America or Israel. It's all across Europe. It's Australia. It's Canada. Anytime a terrorist attack happens, there's an immediate response. And right away, we start talking about Islamophobia, and we start talking about how, you know, the people who support the terrorists are being discriminated against, and how the terrorists have families, and on and on and on. And suddenly people are no longer sure what's right and wrong. And this is really what the left does to us on a regular basis. You know, people come in with common sense. They come in understanding what is right and wrong. And then the left twists things around. They reverse, they inverse. And then suddenly people are no longer sure what's right and wrong anymore.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest. Again, frontpagemag.com is where you can see many of his writings. And I agree with that. And actually, it's very helpful to hear you tie it so succinctly to 9/11. However, I also think there's something about the modern moment that in America, forget the world for a second, just America, that makes it particularly makes people particularly susceptible to this playbook. And you know, we were talking off the air about David Horowitz. He's written literally dozens of books and a number of them on the tactics of the left. And so I know it's a set of tactics. Feels like the tools for these tactics are more effective at making regular people. And I think you had some writings on this about polling. I mean, regular folks sort of fall for it faster and deeper than maybe even after 9/11.
Yeah, well, the country itself, the culture itself has gone further to the left. It's lost sight of, you know, basic facts. So it's gotten worse. It's only going to get worse until we actually turn the ship around, because when people actually don't even know what a woman is, when they can't agree, you know, on basic truths, basic facts, when the left can make even the worst kinds of people seem like victims, anything is possible. We just had an article in The Atlantic about this Muslim student at Stanford who goes around with a banner saying, "Ask me about jihad," who says that Hamas should take over America, who called repeatedly for assassinating Biden. And the response to the article from a editor at Bloomberg was, you know, why are we shaming this 23-year-old who didn't ask to be in the news? You know, they can justify anything at this point, and it's only going to get worse from here. You know, as bad as we think the various, you know, things like what is a woman is, they're going to push harder and farther and faster until people don't know what up and down is anymore.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest, and he's at frontpagemag.com. His writing's there and all over the place. What about the political reality in Israel? I know it shouldn't matter in a way. It should be war footing, but it does matter. And it does matter that the President of the United States has sent increasingly confusing signals. What is the path forward? Because had America, for example, after 9/11, had America had signals from major allies that, you know, you have to stop this. And there were a few. You have to, you know, don't go so far. There were a few. But mostly we plowed on past it. What is the political reality in Israel?
Well, the public is united behind defeating Hamas for the most part. There's still a contingent on the left who are going to go out to protest and all that. But, you know, by 70% margins or so, the public is united. Israel, however, is dealing with increasing pressure campaigns from the Muslim world, from Europe and all these countries that answer to them, and from the Biden administration. But initially, Israel thought, you know, we're going to do whatever the Biden administration says. They're going to give us their support, and we're going to move forward with this. You know, they want us to, not use tanks here. They want us to target more specifically there. We can try to work with that. This was unfortunately a mistake. It was an inevitable mistake. I warned this was a mistake, because the bottom line is support is always a ticking clock. There was a point at which the support was going to go away, and that point was the end of the year. This point, the Biden administration is doing everything possible to level pressure on Israel, and the reality is it's actually making things worse. So the Biden administration refused the veto a UN resolution calling for an end to Israeli attacks on Hamas. As a result, Hamas is pulled out of the hostage negotiations yet again. The reality is this entire idea that if you apply more pressure on Israel, you would get some kind of agreement, where it works just the opposite, because the terrorists are the ones who never actually want to come to any kind of agreement. So when the Biden administration applies pressure on Israel, just like the Clinton and the Obama administrations, what happens next is that the whole negotiations blow up, and conflict then becomes absolutely the only way forward.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest again, frontpagemag.com, and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's an author there and prolific writer and communicator on this. How does it play out for America politically? I think Joe Biden is hurting himself, but I'm not sure he ever had what I would call not just conservative Jewish voters, but sort of right and center right voters, Jewish voters. That wasn't who he relied on for his coalition to get elected. But is he going to pay a political cost?
Well, he was already underwater among New York Jewish voters. Now, that's not going to make that much of a difference because of the demographics in New York. He lost Florida Jewish voters, and that actually is a swing state in 2020. So I think he's going to lose them by an even higher margin. And while the Biden administration is focusing very much on Hamas supporters in Dearborn, Michigan, and assuming that they are the ones who count on winning them over is important, there are Jewish voters in those swing states. They are watching what's going on, and they're seeing the betrayal and the sellout. How they'll react is hard to say. Some of them are liberal. Some of them are more conservative. But the demographics in the Jewish world are also shifting toward a more religious, more traditional, more conservative voter. So this is certainly not going to help him the way that he thinks it is. He's trying to play both sides. And you know what? At some point, you have to decide good or evil, right or wrong.
Right. Daniel Greenfield, last question. I had one of my listeners email me and say, when you get these really smart guys on, ask them where they go to read what's going on in the world. Where do you go to read about what's happening, let's say, in Israel and that you trust what they're saying? Or do you go to places and say, you know, they're going to be spinning you this direction, but you want to see what they're spinning? Your thoughts?
You absolutely have to read between the lines when dealing with the media. That's what I always do. You know, sometimes when they're defending something, you know that there's a problem. Likewise, when they're very vocal about pushing a particular agenda, you know that marching orders have gone forward. I just did, for example, an analysis of the Biden administration's investigation of former President Trump, which started as soon as the Attorney General Garland was confirmed. But I did it by reading between the lines of the various leaks that are coming out of the Justice Department. You really cannot trust anything out there these days, whether it's the media, whether it's not the media. You have to think for yourself, analyze for yourself, ask questions.
Well, and read Daniel Greenfield and frontpagemag.com. Hey, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being a voice out there and taking a lot of flack sometimes and attention other times and communicating. We're grateful in the tradition of David Horowitz and his work. So thanks very much, Daniel.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break. Everybody be right back. I'll put some links up to Daniel's writings, his essays, also his book. And we'll take a break and be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presenting a daily conservative pro-family perspective since 1983 and continuing the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
If they cut it, we will replace it. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick declared these words about the razor wire along the Texas border with Mexico after President Joe Biden won a narrowly weak 5-4 decision from the Supreme Court authorizing Biden to cut the razor wire. Lieutenant Governor Patrick holds an unusually powerful office because he commands the state Senate, and his comments join the chorus of other top Texas officials who take a strong stand against Biden's open border. We are putting up wire everywhere we can. We will continue. We will not stop, Lieutenant Governor Patrick told Fox News after visiting the border to be on hand in case Biden's Border Patrol showed up with wire cutters. Wisely, they did not, Patrick said. President Biden retaliated against Texas in another way by abruptly blocking all pending approvals for permission to export liquefied natural gas. Texas is America's largest producer of the clean burning natural gas, which is essential to both its economy as well as the entire nation's economy. The Texas Land Commissioner, Dr. Dawn Buckingham, observed that Biden's unexpected order looked more like retaliation than a sound policy decision, coming as it did a day after Texas took a bold stand in defending our border against foreign invaders. The Land Commissioner oversees the oldest public agency in Texas, with authority over Texas's immense natural resources and public lands. In an article for the Daily Caller, Dr. Buckingham called on all Americans to stand up for our country. Politicians should put the interests of Americans in their hearts and send a loud and clear message to leaders in a far-off capital in Washington, D.C. Keep your hands off the Texas National Guard. The Texans who stood against Biden's border policy showed a strong example of federalism, and they should be commended for working against the radical leftist open borders agenda. States' rights are a central point of limitation of the federal government, so it is refreshing to see Texas officials take a stand to defend our nation.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Illegal immigration burdens our schools and social services and opens doors to criminals and terrorists. Outdated visa programs divert jobs from Americans. PhyllisSchlafly.com chronicles these outrageous unfair practices and provides answers. Go online to PhyllisSchlafly.com. Thanks for listening and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height filling in here, wrapping up probably maybe my last show. Not my last show. You know what I mean. The last one for the week, as I have guest hosted here for Mr. Ed Martin, who has been out on assignment. Looking forward to having him back in the booth next week. But in the meantime, I've been very grateful to be here with you. Great show today. And I got a couple of things that I want to wrap it up with here. But before we get there, let me remind you, proamericareport.com. That is Ed's Substack. You'll find his writing and work there, what he's talking about. And then, of course, PhyllisSchlafly.com is where you're going to find the archives of this program, the podcasts and standalone guests, the links and resources, and the all-important Wink email, what you need to know every morning into your inbox, 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, and all the other concurrent time zones. Go sign up. Don't miss out on that. But I wanted to come back and wrap up just real quick. I mentioned in the beginning of the program, we talked the what you need to know today, the wink, that the left is fracturing and the right has to unite if we are going to win this year. And we must. This is the most important election we've ever faced. If you're tired of hearing people say that and you didn't hear the beginning of the show, go back, grab the podcast and listen to the first segment, because I go into why I think that's actually accurate. I'm trying to stop myself from rolling my eyes, and I'm agreeing with that when I hear it. I think it really is true, and it has been true for a long time. Each election gets more successively important than the last one was. That's where we are. But a couple of the things that I want to bring to light, there were some headlines that tickled me, and it's as sad as it is. Maybe it's a little bit of a high note to end on this week and this program. I wanted to bring up a couple. I know I'm not the Babylon Bee. Let's be clear. Those guys are brilliant. They're geniuses. Every single one of them. They make me and probably tons of other grown men and women just giggle, giggle on a regular basis with the wit and humor and just the sharp cultural and political commentary they bring. They're all fantastic. I love them. This isn't a commercial. It could be, guys, if you want it to be, just contact us. You know, we've given it out a lot. Call us in, proamericareport.com. If anyone from the Babylon Bee is listening, give us a call. But there were some fantastic headlines that just I had to share with you, some very interesting things that have come up. So when I say that the Democrat Party is fracturing, that the left is fracturing, I gave a few examples at the beginning, how these classes of victimhood they've created, the left, are just necessarily at a certain point going to eat each other alive because they are contradictory. Welcome to the world of moral relativism. This is what you get when you're making up truth. It doesn't work because truth is not relative, period. And full stop. End of story. If you don't agree with me, I'm sorry. We should have a longer conversation about that sometime. But I'm not right. It's a fact. It is right. And I agree with it. That's how we should say it. But there were some headlines specifically out of the Democrat world that I wanted to share, just made me chuckle, and let us kind of know where we are. You want to know why? I think the Democrats are in such disarray, and they are very much under the impression at this point that Joe Biden's going down in flames and is absolutely on his way to losing the November election. From my lips to God's ears, may it be. But you look at some of the headlines, very, very, very interesting. Trump raking in tens of millions of dollars more than the Biden fundraising records right now. There is financial, monetary movement and momentum on the right that there isn't on the left. Another indicator that I saw that just made me kind of chuckle, which if you want to know, you know, why Democrats think they're going to lose this fall, there is a very interesting movement going around. People are looking for Justice Sonia Sotomayor, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, to retire. And quickly, they want her out. You know why? Well, that tells me that they think Joe Biden's going to lose. Trump gets in. And man, if she retires or gets ill or something like that, we can't have Trump picking a fourth Supreme Court justice. Heaven forbid, they say. Well, that tells me that they're in pretty chaos driven mode over there. It would seem that they think their boy's going to lose and Trump's going to win this fall. That's a pretty good indicator if you see one. But here's one of the ones that just I almost literally rolled out of my chair laughing. I saw this from the Daily Fetched, pretty good website. Adam Schiff, Shifty Schiff, lots of other nicknames that I don't need to go into. I'll leave those to the Trump folks to come up with. But Adam Schiff, running for Senate in the great, formerly great state of California, and one of the most infamous members of the so-called Select Committee on January 6th in the U.S. House under Nancy Pelosi. Adam Schiff is worried that Donald Trump is going to throw him into prison. And he says, we're taking this seriously. Oh, that's rich. That is absolutely rich. He says, quote, we've seen this movie before and how perilous it is to ignore when someone is saying that they want to be a dictator. You know, from the guy whose committee gave over the clearance to the Biden regime to throw innocent Americans in jail because they expressed a political opinion. That's pretty rich. That's pretty rich, Adam Schiff. Oh, my gosh. And Zoe Lofgren, another Democrat representative, saying that if Trump intends to eliminate our constitutional system and start arresting his political enemies, I guess I would be on that list. Well, you know what? I can think I'm not all into trading here. But if we're going to trade, I can think of a lot of January 6th prisoners that are innocent and sitting without due process. And if we could trade them. For Adam Schiff and Zoe Lofgren and let these corrupt congressmen serve out the rest of the sentence of some of the January Sixers, I would take that. I don't know about you, but it's something that I would consider pretty heavily, and I would try to get some support behind it. So I tell you what, this just reminds me of what Ed called it, the Tucker Carlson effect. When Tucker started speaking truth, whenever the left starts accusing someone of something, look pretty closely, they're probably doing it themselves, and the imprisoning of political enemies. Well, that's going on right now, and it's not Donald Trump doing it. So the left is going down. The right has to unite. So we go to victory this fall. We must win. Thank you for being with us, for joining us today on the Pro America Report. Thanks to Ed for leading the show. Thank you to Mason, my co-producer, for being with me and keeping it on track. And thank you to you for listening. We couldn't do it without you. We will see you back here next week on another edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.